to stand to our feet and give him worship. Love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you. Just speak it from the heart, whatever you have on your heart to say. Hallelujah without the musicians. Hallelujah. 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 Time, let's lift our praise. Hallelujah. 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 We love you. Father, in your presence truly is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Lord, we don't have to ask you to come tonight, Lord. You're already here. Lord, we thank you for shalom. Your peace is with us, Lord, because your presence is with us. Lord, your presence says Jehovah Jireh. Lord, our provider is with us. Our shepherd is with us. Our deliverer is with us. We thank you, Father. Lord, teach us your ways, O Lord. Cause us to sit down, Lord, at your feet tonight and feed your flock, O God. Lord, may your love come so through me, Lord. Lord, it would not just be Stephen's love, Lord, but it would be your love, Lord, to each one here tonight. We need encouragement, Lord. We need rest from the world, Lord. We need rest from the unrest. We need a word from you, Lord, fresh from your table, Lord, in the presence of our enemies, in the presence of this fallen, dying world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've heard us already, Lord. We just commit the service into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians, so much for going before us into battle. Really appreciate that. Sorry, my neck is kind of stiff. So if I look a little bit starchy, it's not in spirit. Praise the Lord. Of course, send greetings from Bethany and the kiddos. I came down early just for a had stuff going on in town, so didn't drive all the way back up through traffic to get the family. So, but they want to be here, I'm sure, and send their love and greetings to all those online tonight. I know even myself just struggling with all the smoke outside. Just driving from St. Cloud, just smelling it through the car. Brother Greg, your eyebrows are saying, "I know what you're saying." And just that, it just the visibility being so low and things, and we look in our body and represent our body and say, "Wow, what if they? Maybe they'll send out an announcement. We don't have to drive with this smell coming in." But you think about, well, what about the churches in Canada? I mean, they would have to cancel church for how long because it's so thick up there. But we're just thankful that we're here tonight, those online and in service tonight, and it takes a miracle to just to press play, to get online, to come to church, to hear the word of God. You know, I wanted to say the other night when Brother Don just we were gonna listen to a tape and he just felt like we needed encouragement. I feel that way again tonight. And it's so interesting too because remember, Philip, how much trouble we were having with the online stream because we were online. And Derek got up and was like, "I gotta say something," and he was talking about this and everything and the dome over in Jerusalem, you know, how these rockets and we actually I was talking to someone about it today. There's been over, I think, 4,000 rockets fired at Israel since 2021. And they won't even send the counterattack to block them if it's calculated that it's not going to land in a civilian area. So it's amazing how it's just they just ignore it. They just say, "Well, the sirens are on, and just watch out. It's not going to hit anybody, but there's going to be a blast, and it's going to do some earthly damage, but it's not going to do anything to any people." And so you just think about this, you know, with the enemies of the all attacks that Satan does, whether it's this smoke, you know, to our flesh or things, you know, it's like they hear that siren sounding all the time, right? And if you watch the videos, you just hear day or night. I mean, can you imagine? "Oh, not again. Here it comes again. I just got the baby down, Josh. And now here comes the sirens again." And can you just imagine that? And then, okay, where is it going to explode? Please, I hope it doesn't explode near my house again. And what was interesting, while you were talking, Derek, that service talking about spiritual warfare and about the Iron Dome, that it cut out right when Brother Don and Derek were on the same wavelength of, you know what it is, you know, like having trouble with the video feed. He's like, it's the prince of the power of the air. And then he says, "Demons," and immediately cut out right there. And then what it did is it on the YouTube app, it just tried to keep buffering. It just kept saying, "Demons, demons, 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 demons," over and over again. And of course, we could just take those, like, "Oh," you know, or we could be like, "Aha." Like, I'm sure you've heard the story mom and dad has told about how we can, you know, it's the devil. And that was at the time where it was like the Lord is saying, "Hey, pay attention. It's demons. Demons, 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 demons." Just like those Iron Dome rockets. It's just, again, over 4,000 missiles since 2021, you know, in 2 years. I mean, do the math. That's how many per week. That's a lot. So to think that it's just we're being barraged every day, over and over and over. Just want to take a thought tonight. Don't weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. So we're in a season. We're going to have that due season. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass, Peter. And so that's really what's on my heart. And that was such an encouragement to my heart. And it was interesting because Levi had that last night. We were up with him in the night. And he had seen something spiritual actually come into his room, demonic come into his room. And so we were praying with him and just rebuking Satan. And then just that, and then we were just talking about how this is spiritual warfare, how this is just attack of the devil. And then that night, and Brother Don just has it on his heart, we need to pray about this. And then demons, demons, demons. So it was exactly what we needed. So to know that, you know, we say, how's everybody doing tonight? And we say, we're doing great. Like Brother Bram said, when he was having that trouble with the beans kept coming up and all that stuff, and how they said, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing great. And they'd say, well, aren't you lying? Nope. That's right, Brother Ron. Why? Because it's already done. That's right. Because we're not, he's like, I'm not identifying with this body. I'm identifying what's already done in the word for me and who I am in my soul. And so we can identify with the real us, that inner man that never gets tired, that runs and isn't weary. But we have to draw that strength from above. And I was thinking about that dear sister, Brother Derek. I can't remember her name all of a sudden. You had mentioned her in England. Tessa. Sister Tessa. And I was just thinking about her tonight as I was just studying and just thinking about how God is equipping her. He already has all the equipment for her, and she's going back in for more. Lord, I need something else. Lord, I have the answer. And it reminds me of a testimony of a man who had, he all he heard was, when he first got saved, all he heard was blasphemous swear words against the Lord. And he just, all the time in his head, and he'd never thought those thoughts even when he was not saved. And he said he just heard blasphemous thoughts or swearing against, casting against the Lord. And he just, it bothered him so bad. And he would just say, Satan, I rebuke you. And he finally got in his prayer closet. He told his wife, I'm going in there if it takes days. And he was, I think on day two, where he was just praying and praying and he was just crying. He said, Lord, I don't want to think these thoughts. And he says, and the Lord just told me, it's not a problem. And he says, well, yeah, it's a problem because I'm thinking it in my head. And he says, well, do you believe that? Is that what you think about me? He says, no. He says, well, first of all, those aren't your thoughts. And then he said, secondly, he said, when that happens, every time that happens, just tell me what you think of me. Just tell me what you think of me. So he said, every time all of a sudden you'd hear curse words, it was a notification from the devil to just praise the Lord for what he'd already done. And just praise, and just to go. And he says, Satan's notifications drove me to the throne of God every day. And those first 9 months of being a Christian just drove me into the presence of God. So it just, it was a tool to, again, be reminded of what we think of the Lord, what we know of the Lord. So we can be encouraged tonight. Praise God. You know, to think that to remember that we are eternal, we are supernatural beings having a natural experience, sometimes very natural. And to think that we need to get back into those heavenly places, no matter where we are, that we can have heavenly places on the construction site, Josh. We can have heavenly places, Brother Greg, when all of a sudden you get one of those calls at home and you're trying to figure something out with that IT stuff that I know nothing about, but you can be in heavenly places in that moment. And each one of us, with all of our supposed drudgery, we can have those heavenly places. And we are the best because we have the best of the best living inside of us. We are nothing by ourselves, but Christ in us, the hope of glory, I was thinking about this, Peter, vasoconstriction versus vasodilation, and how that our blood vessels, we need to get oxygen and nutrients physically to our organs, to our brain, everything. And they say that when you drink energy drinks, okay, I'm not going to make you raise your hand so that way I don't have to preach at you. But I drink coffee. Actually, I was tired when I was studying and I went and got coffee. So I'm on the chopping block. But they say when you drink, anything like caffeine drinks, it vasodilates your blood vessels, causing tons of flow, right? And you're like, yes, this is great. I feel inspiration coming on. I could preach. And you pray that I don't preach too long, that I preach just as long as the Lord wants me to preach tonight. But that feels good. And that's good because we need more oxygen and we need more nutrients going to our brain and our organs, right? But what happens, they say, I remember seeing on the news, today on the news, we found out that all these energy drinks, if we don't have them, they actually vasoconstrict. They actually make our blood vessels smaller than normal after habitually having them and then not having them. So, aha! So that means we have to go back and have more in order to have that same thing happen. So now we're just, I really need that energy drink. And how that spiritually, sometimes these things can happen to us, and you can see the relation is that sometimes we just think, I just need to get the anointing. I need to get this, and I need to get that, everything like that. And we just, then we get the lows, and Satan comes in and tries to give us something that we don't need, and all of a sudden it constricts us. Oh, that was bad news. Even when I was studying, I was just so excited, and then Derek knows my brain. I get so excited. I'm like, oh yeah, that's great. Oh yeah. Wait, that's wrong. Oh, now where am I at? Lord, I got to start over again. And I just feel, why? Because I was caught up in my own anointing. Yes, this is wonderful. But the Lord corrected me like, no, Stephen, that's not right. And then, I know this is sketchy. But in that way, but to know that there's things in this world that are not only we have those missiles metaphor charted at us, but also Satan is trying to choke the word, trying to choke the life of the word flowing through our spiritual veins, flowing his life through us. He says, nope, I want to choke that word out of our life. We don't want that. We want that when the Lord does it, let that flow keep flowing to us, those spiritual nutrients and vitamins. So with that, we'll take our text and let's go to Galatians chapter 7. And we'll stand in the honor of the word. This is such a good. Galatians 6. What did I say?
Seven.
I said seven. We're going to go back. Exactly. Oh, my. And we're going to, this is interesting. We're going to go start with verse 3 to start out with our weakness, because we're talking about doing well. So we got to make sure that we're starting out in humility to realize it's not us. All right. Galatians 6, verse 3. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So we know we're nothing. We're only something because he is something in us. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. And let him that is taught, we're actually going to go right down to verse 8. Sorry, verse 9. And let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let's just ask the Lord's blessings. Heavenly Father, bless this word and nourish it for our spiritual needs. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So, young people, I'm going to quiz you too. What does well mean? What does it mean? If we're not, Emma. Yes, that's there. Yeah, it's a state of being. It's not a, it's a verb. It's an existence, doing something well. Anybody else have any ideas what well means? We use it a lot. I could see Derek, and I could say well. There's Derek, and that means that it must be really good because I said it three times. He's in a really good state of being, or maybe I am. But we use that, or we say, well, so there's a, we've got to talk about this because the whole point of this tonight is to restore what does it mean to have well doing. What does it mean? It means something that we don't know. Can we agree that we have some understanding of it, but can we have more understanding of it? Because the end is well done, my good and faithful servant. Seth, can you imagine that? You're walking into glory. I just wanted to stop for a minute. You're walking into glory just after hearing, well done. And just the relief of, praise God, it's all grace. There was none of me. There's no way I should just hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. There's that, even though we have that, those, we know we have those intimate times with the Lord. We know that we're doing everything we know to do, being obedient to what he tells us to do and everything, but just hearing it, knowing that it's only grace and his power working in us to be on the other side. Now we're stepping into eternity, and we just heard Hebrews 11, the great commendation, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord forever. And now we're walking into to glory. Just that feeling right there. If we can capture that feeling, David, to say, I'm here. I'm in his presence forever. I don't have to be weary anymore, Brother Ron, Sister Pam. I don't have to think about this anymore. I don't have to persevere. So here's in the West, that same verse. Let us not slacken our exertions by reason of the weariness that comes with prolonged effort in habitually doing that which is good. Let me read that again. So this isn't like a, oh man, I couldn't do it, I failed. If I would have only done the right thing, but now I failed. No, it's meaning we're listening, we're obeying, and we're doing. Look at Elijah in the Mount Carmel showdown, right? He said, Lord, let me die. It wasn't because he failed. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do, and Jezebel wanted to kill him. But he was weary in well-doing. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. We're going to get to the definition of well. But we see how this, it says, let's not slacken our exertions by reason of weariness that comes with prolonged effort in habitually doing that which is good. For in a season, which is in its character, is appropriate, we shall reap if we do not become enfeebled through exhaustion and faint. So there's so many times where we just get feebled and exhaustion and faint. And we know sometimes it's just that sometimes I spiritually get so, where you have that wonderful happening of a testimony and you just start, you know, just the rivers of life just start flowing out of you to someone, right? And you're just like, oh, this is wonderful. And then you get back to work and all the things that you have to do. And then you just feel weak because you need to get back to the fountain for more. And I notice that's when I'm weak and well-doing sometimes. It's all of a sudden now, it's like that after the Mount Carmel showdown, even when it's a success, is, you know, you hear about, according to Brother Billy Powell, how Brother Branham, after a meeting, he'd say, oh, Billy, You waited too long. It was too long. And he would drive him around for half an hour before taking him home because he was just so weary in his body. It was just so hard on his body. And I'm sure it affected his mind. Just as we know, he was troubled in his head for many days. Is that it's that weariness that comes from prolonged effort and even habitual doing that which is good. So this isn't to say, shame on you, you're not doing good, you know, you're failing in this. No, this is saying, stay the course because you're doing the right thing. You are habitually doing good by his grace. And if you're saying, hey, boy, I don't know if I habitually do good, that's just up to you to let the Lord ping your heart. But to think that we can be, because we live in this body, we can be enfeebled through exhaustion and faint. I was feeling this today, and just getting like 5 hours of sleep and getting up at like 3 something in the morning. And the Lord reminded me of something. Sometimes just reminding you of him overcoming through you. Have you had that time where you're like, praise God, I was faithful that one time? You just have that moment where you're like, praise God, I can look back and see the Lord in me one time or two times where it just, oh, thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to get down on my knees that moment and say, Lord, what should I do? It's you knew he was doing through you and it was well. One time, and I want to talk to tonight because we know this Galatians 6:9, what is it talking in the metaphor of? It's talking about a sowing and a harvest. So this is a season of sowing and working. And young people, I never saw this before. I'm a grown adult, and Brother Greg was preaching, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is without observation. And all of a sudden, I got that scripture for the first time in my life. And it was like I saw a field, and it's like I came up to it after someone else had bought the field, had got all the rocks out, had got all the soil in the right condition, had fertilized it and it was stinky, and bought the seed for thousands of dollars, had planted the seed, had watered the seed, and now I came up on the field and he's like, look at my field. It's going to be a great harvest. And all I can see is dirt. And I'm like, yeah, so what? There's a field of dirt. Oh, you should see how much money I put into that dirt. What? You should see the pile of rocks over there that I like broke my back on to get out. But without observation, you'd say, well, there's no corn there. But give it the rain, the sunshine, the working that field, the keeping out the missiles. And what do you got? In that season, in due season, it's due, it's coming. That thing will be a full crop. And that's how the kingdom of heaven is the little things we do in obedience to the Lord, little tiny things, Zoe, that we do, will grow and grow and grow. I'm sure you remember that story where I was in Honduras and I didn't even know where I was. They took me up and they're like, this is a very big Jehovah's Witness area. And I was like, I don't even remember what Jehovah's Witness believe. And we get there and there's a dog running through this outdoor service as I'm preaching and all this. And I was like, Lord, I just yield myself. Whatever you want to say, I can tell this is going to just, it feels like it's going to flop. And I was preaching on my knees and just crying and in that moment it was just preaching the cross and him crucified, just glorying and not in wisdom of man's word, but in preaching the cross and him crucified. And there was this woman scowling, like I've told the story, and I came back a year later and found out that she is the one that got saved. And I didn't even know it. And to think that there's the little things that we do, and we're just so tired, and we just do it and do it and do it and grind and grind and grind, and we don't know the impact. It's without observation. It's the invisible investment. We can't go on our phone and pull an app and be like, the kingdom of God is up 2% today. from what I invested. I got 100 stocks yesterday, and now it's up 2%. That equates to this much in the kingdom of God. I got two more gems on my crown. No, it's nothing sometimes. I remember I was working at Costco, and I was just sweeping the floor in produce and stacking boxes and whistling, because I'm always whistling at work. And this guy came over to me, and he said, "Well, praise God, brother." And he shook my hand, and I'm like, "Hey, how do you know I was a Christian?" And he said, we started talking, and he said, "I heard you whistling a hymn." And he said, at first, he says, "You wouldn't know, it's been about 9 months of a dry season for me, and I've lost the joy of the Lord." And he says, "When I heard you whistling, at first I was envious, because I said, he's got the joy of the Lord. All for me whistling." And he said, and it reminded me of the joy of the Lord for me, and it brought it back to me, and I have the joy of the Lord from just hearing you whistle. And I was just breaking down crying, because it was just like a tough time in my life. And he's like, "In this world, we get dusty feet. But," he says, "you've washed my feet. You've been found faithful. Don't think that you haven't been found faithful." And I thought, you know, just me whistling. It wasn't that I just went up to someone Christian and, "Yay, I say unto thee," with this great gift. It was just that I could whistle a tune. So to know that the kingdom of God comes without observation, that was well-doing. That the things that we do are well-doing. Okay, now we're going to go into what does it mean. From Greek, we're going to go into two meanings, the Greek and the Hebrew. From Greek, it means beautiful, handsome, excellent, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable. This is for well. Commendable. There's well done. Admirable. So again, we're doing this. And because we have Christ, and I haven't got, this is like got to be a many part sermon, because there's all these times where he's good. Well, he is that word well for us. It's of excellent in its nature and characteristics, and therefore well adapted to its ends. Genuine, approved, precious, able. It says, joined to names of men designated by their office, competent, able, such as one ought to be, praiseworthy, noble. Beauty, okay, here we go. Beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, and hence praiseworthy. My, that's what he means by well done. Morally good, noble, honorable, conferring honor, affecting the mind agreeably, comforting and confirming. And that's what also good means. So how it says, we know it says, poor communication corrupts good manners. And so we see that now that's a corrupt thing. And we hear this so much around us, is nobody, that's not cool to be that. That's not for the boys to hang out and like try to be all these characteristics that are just commendable and admirable and excellent. It's just like, let's just hang out and chill and just do guy things and be rude. That's that the world these days, that's kind of a little bit how I was. You know, it's like you just talk negative thing, everything about negative stuff. And can you believe that happened in the world and this and that? And it's such a disease versus, and I keep coming back to Philippians 4:11, what is lovely, which is acceptable. What is praiseworthy, and how that we have to be thinking that to be doing that. And that comes with what we occupy our times with, because this is, like one of the young people said, it's well is in existing, how he exists. If to faint not, it means to give up the will. Just, I don't have any more will left to do it. You feel so exhausted. You just don't have anything left. And that's when he comes in, right? In that strength. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 3:14. I was thinking of Sister Tessa in this, is that when we feel this way, we like Brother Bram says, faith finds its resting place in the word. So we know that God has something for us, and we know it's invisible, but it's effective. It's our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not tangible, but they're mighty in pulling down strongholds. So we need to find those mighty things. Right or wrong? Right? Amen. Praise God. So we're going to Ephesians 3. And let's go to verse 8. And I want to keep you this whole time, so stay with me. In verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, and yet he's well-doing, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see that what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. So we need that fellowship of the mystery, to the intent that now unto the principality and powers in heavenly places might be known by what? The church, the manifold wisdom of God. We need that manifold wisdom, that manifold wisdom. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, let's read verse 12 together, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Tessa's got boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. And not just that, because he says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Let's read the last part of 16. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. And the capstone, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we should, above all that we should ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. We have his power working in us. It's not, oh Lord, it's Wednesday night. If I can just make it to church, if I can just get a little shot glass in my vessel and take it home and sip on it for the rest of the week. No, it's his power working in us. It's that word energio. It's effectual. It's in charge. It's in the boiler room. It's the power. It's the dynamo. It's unto his glory. Praise God. This is from Principles of Divine Healing. Don't never be weary in well-doing, for you will certainly reap in due season if you faint not. Always do that which is right. And whatever that God has said in his book, you believe that, for you can hang your soul on any phase of the word of God. You believe that, don't you? Now, whatever he promised in his word, that God will do, for God is under obligation to his word. Praise the Lord for that. So we know that we will reap in due season, and we will look to his word, which is true. One of my favorite scriptures in Psalms 119, I think it's 167, where he says, "If thy law had not been my delights, I would have perished in my affliction." We have to look to his laws. We have to look at how he works, how it works. You think about it, Christian, if you do any motor sports or skateboarding or anything like that, you have to rely on the laws of physics. Otherwise, you're going to go flying into the wall if you're at the skateboard park, right? Because you're trusting that everything, you're like, unless I can just realize that it's just going to work and trust that it's going to work, I'm going to crash and hurt myself. But if we know that that law of gravity is going to work, we're not going to get hurt as long as we do exactly what we're supposed to do in that crazy helmet wearing, death defying thing that we do as teenagers, right? And so, just like that, only greater is that law of God that we have to know that each law has to work for us in that way. It has to. God's obligated to give us the law of gravity, and we benefit from it every day. So, well, sometimes it's a little bit heavy. But we have the law. It just tastes so good to read Psalms 19, how it says the law of the Lord is perfect. And I was just thinking about how this is, we live and breathe all around us, even though we don't actually hold on to it, but it's all surrounding us, the counsel of the ungodly, which is imperfect and incomplete, right? And we see this all the time. People will around the break room. It's the opposite of well, opposite of excellent. It's just all this, I can't believe it. This guy, you know, he murdered somebody, and then, you know, in two years he was out on parole. And you're like, how can this be? Is it's not complete justice. It's not complete. It's incomplete. It's not perfect. And it doesn't convert anybody. These people are back on the street and they'll be shooting someone else in a couple days. Why? Because it wasn't the right justice was not served correctly. The judgment was wrong. But to think how that we have the laws and the judgments of God that are perfect. This is such a wonderful quote from Jehovah Jireh, where Brother Branham's talking about how we might feel like we got the raw deal. What is it? What all this sign of healing? What all this sign of persecution against us? We're at the junction time. How many feel like we're at a junction? Brother Don was saying just, it was like 2 months ago. He was saying, we're about to turn a corner. I can feel it. And it's just, you can just feel like, I don't know how many of you feel the same way. We're like, I can't believe there's still so much God out there. Like, as far as like, I mean, like, why is there still God on the bill anymore? Like, they're crying out for less offense or like more offense or less offensive things now, like to get removed. There's so many things that are still out there that we're allowing, like Christmas carols that actually say God and sinner reconciled, and it's playing at the mall, and you're like, we are so about to go dark. Where this is just going to take over, where it just feels like the enemies at the gates of the constructs of legalism, or I'm sorry, of the legal system, like, and just make it legal, make it legal, make it legal, get rid of the Ten Commandments, get this out and everything, and it just overwhelms. But because we're at a junction, it's like prohibition for everything moral now. And they're like, we don't want anything moral anymore. We don't believe in that good stuff. It's so perverted. Why? Because we're at a junction time. It's the coming of the Son of God is at hand right now. And these are the things that you're seeing take place now. It's showing a signpost. Jesus said these things would happen, and we're looking at them today. Oh, brother, one of these days, things are going to change. And he's saying this in 56. I'll see Adam say, Eve, honey, shake her and say, wake up, sweetheart, it's here. What is? It's that time where the dead in Christ rise. I see, this is to encourage your hearts tonight. I see Eve go up over and shake up Seth and say, Seth. Seth will go and shake a little bit and shake Noah. Where's Noah? And he'll shake Noah. And Noah raise up and so forth. And on down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. On down to the last saints that's in the grave when Jesus comes again. It's amazing how, like, sometimes we forget the end. We're like, oh, man, it's dark. It's crazy. What are we going to do? But it's the end, which means it's just the beginning of eternity for us. Praise God. That's wonderful. I think about, you know, Grandma Lenore and just that she's wrapping up her affairs on earth. She's getting her tickets ready. She's not buying green bananas anymore, perhaps. She's ready to go. She wants to be with Grandpa Lori again. She has so many that has gone on before. And she's not planning things 2-3 years in the future anymore. She's not doing all these things. Her eyes are past that junction. The earth will break forth and every redeemed will be caught up in the air to meet him. We're at the end time, junction time. Look at this junction between the separation of right and wrong with Adam, or with Abraham. What a time. Abraham seemed like that he had got the raw deal. Now listen to this. It seems like tonight, because you're so separated yourself from the things of the world, that you got the raw deal. It seems like tonight, it says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. You don't have the raw deal. I mean, think about it. I just think about that time, Nate, when the ark is shut, God shut the ark, and now they're like, man, here comes the rain, it's coming. And you've done everything, and you're like, man, they just were so mean for so long. We were so persecuted. And all of a sudden, there's no rain. It's day two. Look at you guys. You're so ridiculous in your boat. Day three, and you're hearing it more and more. And they're like, you know, probably throwing eggs. There's probably, by day seven, there was probably so many dry eggs on the side of that boat and so much graffiti. And so many parades of like, look at the fool, Noah and his family, la-di-da. And there's probably an annual parade every year just to celebrate Noah's folly, right? And yet, all of a sudden, that first rainfall, when the junction happened, all of a sudden the laughter stopped. All of a sudden, I don't believe what you believe. I think you guys are weird. I don't dress the way your girls dress. That's weird. I do whatever I want with my own body. And all of a sudden, those same people now screaming and crying for help. Let us in, let us in. But it was too late. They had been preached to for 100 plus years. Because you separate yourself from the things of the world, it seems that you got the raw deal. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. He that endureth to the end, Jesus said, the same shall be saved. Just keep looking on. Keep moving slowly. God knows what he's doing. We're the only one that gets in a hurry, not him. He let the Hebrew children walk right into the fiery furnace before he even turned a page over to write a new article. Sure. God's in no hurry. He knows what he's going to do. We don't, but we believe it by faith. Because he's said he's going to do it. And I think about Sister Tessa again. I just, you know, just to think that she's on her own fiery furnace with her family, and God's just about to turn the page over and write some new victory for her and her family. It's what God's purpose is. Praise the Lord. to think that we have him that is right and righteous inside of us. He's the best of the best. He is everything good, and he's in us. He's the most well-pleasing, because he said, the Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well-pleased. And he's, when we have the Holy Ghost, he's in us, who is well-pleasing. And it's interesting, because remember, we're talking about not wearying well-doing, for you shall harvest if you faint not. There will be a harvest, and that in us is those seeds planted, and they're invisible, and yet we're feeding them on the Word of God. We're going back to the Word, to the Spirit, and all we have to do is yield to let the fruit come out. Let the fruit that is already potential inside of us come out and be the best of the best out of us. We limit God at what the best is. To think that we have all those 9 spiritual gifts that are lying, waiting to be manifest in this church. I believe it. Because Bram said it's supposed to be in every church. I mean, we don't seek after the gifts primarily. That's the thing. We want the capstone, which is love. But to think that to edify the body, the potential is in us, that well-doing, in the little things, but that those without observation, that invisible investment every day of saying, Lord, what do you have for me? No, what does God have for you? Each one of the young people, what God has for each one of you, lying dormant, now becoming, it's just yielding. At the end of the harvest, they say, what was the yield for this crop? What was the yield for this field? What was wrong with the soil? How could we do some things different to get more fruit out of it? And so how can we say, Lord, I'm wanting to examine my heart. Lord, say, Lord, I want to bear more fruit. I'm fine being the 30-fold if that's what you want me to be. But Lord, may I be the 60-fold. May I be the 100-fold. May I not limit you when you say, for Emma, you're 100-fold. I want you. No, Lord, no, I'm 30-fold. It's not, it's just little old me. I'm not behind a pulpit or anything or whatever. No, God has everything that he put in us to be that potential. Because his word will not return void to us and through us. So lastly, in Hebrew, and the musicians can come, in Hebrew, that same word means to be good, be pleasing, be well, be glad. It's interesting because it says well done, and it says enter into the joy. It's all connected. Joy, gladness is doing well. This first mention was said to Cain when he said, well, when the sacrifice wasn't, the fire didn't come down, he said, well, God told him, you know, if you do well, and that was that part, if it's pleasing, if it's coming in that revelation of what God has for, not from our self-fabrication, but that which is pleasing in my sight. And that's the key, is saying, Lord, I can be that one where you say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, while trying to do all these things. I've done all these things for you. But we have to be totally weak and open and say, Lord, I will have lots of good ideas for what to do for you. But Lord, I want your well-doing, your purpose, your power, your life to come through. And I'm going to say yes, Lord, to that. So that way, it's well done rather than I've done. Amen. Could we just sing that song, Pleasing? I think it's in the key of C, Sister Karen. Let me be pleasing to you. Amen. Let's just all stand. Pleasing. Let me be pleasing.
up to the key of F. Can you sing flow through me? Flow. Let's try D. Flow through G, sorry. Me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Yes, Lord. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me, flow through me. Tonight, Micah, would you just come and close us in a word of prayer? Praise you, Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, this, I want to praise you again tonight that we got an opportunity to come and receive more from you, Lord. We just want to pray that you would be with all of us on our way home tonight, Lord, with the smoke and the haze outside, Lord, and just continue to be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God richly bless you. May he do well for you and through you.